You know, tonight, as we gather in the chapel, always remember that as God delivers his word, he can heal anybody. Amen. In fact, the scripture says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction in Psalm 107, verse 20. So remember that, because there could be someone here tonight that needs a healing touch from God. And you may have come just saying, God, you know what I need. And God can do that tonight. He can do that. It doesn't take a special healing service. We don't have to set aside a particular time and pray and anoint, although when we do that, that's great. There's nothing wrong. We love to do that. But, you know, when Jesus passes by, anybody can be healed. Anybody. So just tonight, I'm so glad to be in the house of God, aren't you? I'm so glad to be in the... Why? Because there's so many... You notice how many voices there are in our culture? And you hear them so often, right? They're in the workplace, they're in the world, they're in restaurants. They can even be in our own homes. You know, you hear lots of voices, and those voices so often try to... Well, they think they know us, and they try to identify us. Our failure tries to identify us. The accuser of the brethren tries to identify. Always just telling us, getting us, wanting to get us to believe that that's who we are. But tonight, praise God, you know who you are? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's redeemed, own, purchased possession. You are fully chosen, completely accepted, extremely valuable, and you were made for a mission. Amen. So you just think about that. That's why we're here tonight, because we get to hear those things from God. God brings us together and reminds us who we really are. And you might not hear it out there in this world that we're in. You might not hear it in the workplace. You might not hear it from other people around you, but we hear it from God. He just wants to remind us of how valuable we are, how important we are to him. And we are eternally loved. Can you imagine that? God chose us. Think about it. God chose us before the foundation of the world. You know, sometimes I say, what were you thinking? What was going through your mind when you knew what we would be like? And he said, yes, I chose you despite the shortcomings, despite the failures, despite the sinful struggles and habits, all of that. None of that made a difference. I set my love upon you, and you were my choice. God said, I cast my vote, and it was for you. And he's never going to take it back. And we need to hear that, don't we? Because again, a lot of voices out there. The Bible says that those voices sometimes, as was the case when Christ was before the crowd and Pilate was present, you know, Pilate wanted to release him. They cried, continued. And it says this in the scripture, their voices prevailed. Their voices prevailed. There are prevailing voices out there, but the only voice that we need to hear is God's voice. Because he will remind us of our value. He'll remind us that we have been chosen. He reminds us that we've been accepted. He reminds us that we were loved eternally. And he reminds us that we were made for a mission. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings and much motivation in our hearts. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you put in our hearts, please. Anoint this assembly with fresh oil tonight, and those that are home listening and will be listening with your heart, your voice speaking to us. And bless and may Paul, we pray for Pastor Narge's family and pour your blessing out on them and Pastor Rajan and all the work there and in so many different parts of the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 30. And I would like to speak tonight a little bit on free will and our choices, our decisions that we make in life. We are actually people made in God's image. I love this in Acts 17 when it speaks to the pagan people about how we are made. I think that would be another good verse. So Acts chapter 17, I want to point it out to you for your meditation. Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now these are pagan people he is speaking to. They are educated pagans. They are in Athens. The leaders, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, died 300 years before this. But these were people that had philosophy. They had some education. Paul is speaking to them. They are not Christians and they are not Jews. He's at Mars Hill at a pagan temple, speaking publicly to them. And he says that we are the offspring of God, verse 29. As certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring, verse 28. Do you see that? It does not say we are children of God. It says we are offspring of God. What is the difference? You cannot be a child of God unless you are born again. When you're born again, you're a child of God. But before you're born again, you are the offspring of God, meaning God made you in his image. You are a sinner, you are lost, but you're in the image of God. And God loves you. God loves the pagan. He loves the unbeliever. He loves the wicked. He loves the evil people. He gave his son for them. He draws them to himself if they will be drawn. But that's part of what I want to say tonight. Look at verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, made in his image with free will. By the way, free will is a theological term that we have for, in our theology, we have a will, but we are depraved. So our will has its limitations. We are fallen creatures. We are sinful people. We are depraved. This is like a theology class tonight, and follow it with me. There are some things maybe that we say tonight, I hope so, that'll resonate with your mind and in your heart and understanding so that you will understand the plan of God. Let me make one other point. I'm afraid that I have so much to say, and I don't want to speak long, but I want to say the important thing. When we look at the Bible, we see the beginning of the world, and at the end of the Bible, we see the end, 21 and 22 of Revelation. Genesis chapter 1, it was good. Was the world good when he made it? Was good. When he made man, what did he say? Very good. Turn to your neighbor and say, very good. Very good. Man was very good. Made very good. Made in the USA. No. He was very good. Why was he very good? Made in God's image. Yeah, this is a mystery. I wanted to share this with you in a few minutes. Notice, I would say this world is what God has achieved. We have arrived at a world without pain, without death, without sorrow, without sin, without the devil. It's over. That's over. It's gone. Now we are somewhere in between here, waiting for Christ's second coming. And here we have questions about the suffering and also the evil. We say, why is there evil in the world? Why is there such pain? Why are our hearts broken? Why are there graveyards and COVID? And why is there war and poverty and sorrow? Why? So we can conceive a world in our minds that is more perfect. We can imagine a world that is better. But we don't know how, if it will happen. Will it happen? Well, we know because we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And the Holy Spirit is telling us it's going to happen. It's coming. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come on earth as it is there. This is a perfect world. And it's coming on the earth. We can imagine it. We can conceive it intellectually, but we don't see it. But we see Jesus, and we see his teaching. And he tells us that in between, in the plan of God, is something very important. It's called free will. People. I'll put here people. I want to make one distinction between a dog and a person. Come here, come on, come on, come on. And he comes, licks your hand, loves you. Can a dog be sympathetic? Yeah, they can. I mean, you're sad, the dog may feel it and sit down beside you and be, you know, kind of like looking sad because you are sad. Dog looks at you. You're sad. I'm sad too. He looks at you. You're stupid. I'm stupid too. All right, now, what is it a dog can't do that a human being can do? A lot of things. A dog's not moral like you are. There's a hunger fast or a hunger strike. Human beings are not eating food. They're going to die because of something politically not correct or morally not correct. So they will die. Will a dog do that? A dog will not go on a hunger strike. They will eat how often? Every day. They will eat every day. Is a dog made like a man? No. Man is made like God. Man can choose. Man can suffer. Man also love. And this is a mystery. Turn to Proverbs. We didn't finish Acts 17, but I think we should look at, we'll move along real fast here, 17:29. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold, silver, or stone. We are made in the image of God, and as pagans, we know that God is not made of gold, silver, or stone. Well, what did they believe? They had something there on the hillside called to the unknown God. They had an unknown God in their heart. An unknown God. Somebody had the idea. Not the sun, not the moon, not gold, silver, not an animal, but somebody beyond this world, the unknown God. Are they saved? They're not saved. Do they have it in their heart for the unknown God? They have it. They have a capacity to hear the gospel. They have it. They have the capacity to make a decision. They have a capacity to respond, to hear. This is what Paul is saying. Look at verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. The phrase winked at means he overlooked it. He let it go. In human history, we have Buddhism in 300 BC. We have Plato in 300 BC. We have Confucius in 300 BC, or that century. That period of time. But not, Confucius was not raised from the dead. Buddha was not, and nor was Plato. But Paul said, verse 31, because God overlooked it, he let it be, because it was part of his plan and the development of the world's civilizations and what he was doing, it's his business. But now he has appointed a day, verse 31, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. What man has he ordained? Not those men, but this man. He has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. He has appointed him, Christ, to believe in Christ, to be born of God, to have the Spirit of God to come into our life. The results were three responses at Mars Hill. Some mocked, verse 32, and some cleaved, and some said, we'll hear you again. Some said, we'll hear you again. Some said, it's crazy. And the others cleaved to him in verse 34. Okay, now go to Proverbs 30 with me. And verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. That phrase, I want it in your memory. There are three things too wonderful for me. What does it mean? I'll put here the word mystery. I could put down here the word, you know, I just don't know how it works. How does it work? I just don't know. It's a wonderful thing to look at it. How does that thing work? It's wonderful. Man is wonderful. He's wonderfully made. How does it work? How does salvation happen? It's wonderful. Does he choose? He chooses. But how does that work? It's a mystery. It's like our meeting tonight. This cannot be fabricated in human terms. What you are looking for and what I am looking for is something wonderful. I want something beyond men figuring it out. I want something. Also, one example of it, we'll read it, we got three things, is love. Let's look at the list. Verse 18. Three things too wonderful me, yea, four, which I know not. What are they? The way of an eagle in the air. Verse 19. What does it mean? An eagle in the air, you're watching the eagle fly. Where is the eagle going? Why is he doing it? What's he doing? What's he doing with his wings, his speed? What's the direction? What's going on? I don't get it. I don't know it. I can study it. I can study it, but I don't know what an eagle is. Eagle is a mystery to me. I can figure it out. There's science on it. I know that. But this is what he's saying. It's amazing. That's what he's saying. This is why children are so fun to be with, because they are discovering life and they're asking why. Why is the sky blue? Why is the water wet? Why does this dog stink? You know, why did you make pumpkin pie? And so on. All right, so go to the next one. Verse 19. The way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And of course, there are people that study these things. But there is a point here. There's something about it that blesses me. There's something about it that is a mystery to me. There's something about it with a disciple. Look at the fourth one, the way of a man with a maid. I think that's a good example. How about a guy that likes a girl, and he initiates to the girl and everything, and the girl is saying, no, not going to happen. I'm not interested in him. Why aren't you interested? I don't know. I can't explain it. Free will. Experience in the front row. And same with the guy. A girl may like a guy. How do you figure it out? How do you understand that? This point, for me, is one of the things that makes us Greater Grace World Outreach. And let me explain it to you, or our church to be what it is. We refuse to say that I can figure this out. We refuse to package it and say, as the Reformed and super Calvinistic people talk about election, and in my opinion, and in my study and my understanding, they have such an emphasis on election that you lose something very precious, and that is, whosoever believes, whoever, come, if you are thirsty, come, whosoever will come. What's that about? That's what Jesus is after. Jesus loves that. It's your choice. Jesus loves this mystery called life. This is why we're troubled in the world, with the world the way it is, because it's conceivable that the world would be a better place, but you'd have to take free will away from our world. You'd have to take away free will. If it was a perfect world, you'd have to remove the option of men and women and angels choosing. It'd have to be removed. Because there would never be a guarantee that it would be a perfect world unless man had the choice to say no to God. When he says no to God, we have the suffering, the evil, and the pain. So God says to us, yes, you are right. You could conceive a perfect world, but I could not achieve the world that I'm going to achieve without your free will. Wow. I know that's a tough one to chew on. Not it's easy, but let me say it another way. You see, unbelievers, they say, I don't believe in God because God wouldn't make a hell. Or I don't believe in God because there wouldn't be suffering, or there wouldn't be all this trouble in the world. That's why I don't believe in God. Or I don't believe in your God. And we counter and we say, I understand you. But there's something wonderful about this life. And it is, you are made in the image of God. And you have to have the freedom to say no to God. And because the world is made this way, and they back off and say, well, if God was so wise, he could have made it so that you could have both a free will and a perfect world. And we say no, because God could not contradict himself. That if he gives us a free will, then it has to be a free will. And if he has a free will, then if man has a free will and angels have a free will, then there has to be the consequence. If they choose contrary, then there has to be the consequence of that. So this is a heavy meditation for Wednesday night, but I'm almost done. And I do think you will catch it with me a little bit even more. Go back to Proverbs 30 and verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. the way of an eagle in the air. I don't know why it's doing what it's doing. The way of a serpent on a rock. I don't know why that serpent is moving that way. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. I didn't get it. I don't have it figured out. And the way of a man with a maid is way beyond me. I don't see it. So here comes. God made this world. Turn to Mark 8. And we shared this in the morning devotional. What was it? Monday morning, maybe. So if you want to go to that portion, you can rehearse it. Mark 8, verse 14 to verse 21. Because of time, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I want you to read the last parts. He is talking to them and says in verse 19, he is talking about how their spiritual IQ is very low. They are not understanding life. They are not understanding Christ. They are not understanding the kingdom. They did not bring bread on their trip. They think Jesus is talking to them about how they should have brought bread on their trip. And he's saying, no, I'm not talking about that. I am not talking about that. And I'm going to put it in here. I'm talking about the way of a man with a maid. I'm talking about an eagle in the air. I'm talking about life, and the Christian life is something beyond what you can package. You cannot figure it out. It's a mystery. Why do you love the brethren? Because of God. Well, how did that happen? Grace. What happened to you? Holy Spirit. What happened? I was born again. Well, can you explain that to me? Not really. Not really. I can't. I know it is. It is so. And there is a kingdom coming. I have it in my heart. Well, you're crazy. It's like, well, yeah. It's fun. Like, this is amazing. This is what Jesus said. Look at it with me. It's verse 18. Having eyes, he's talking to disciples. He's talking to us Christians here in Greater Grace tonight. Having eyes, you don't see. How much of that happens with us? Having ears, you don't hear, and you do not remember. When I break, here comes the mystery. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 12. Let's write the numbers down here. He multiplied bread, and how many baskets was there? 5,000, how many? Break five loaves. There was 5,000 people, and how many baskets? 12. Another time he did the same miracle, verse 20, when the seven among 4,000, so he took seven loaves, and there were 4,000 people, and then how many baskets did they take up? Was it seven? Seven. And then what does he say? How is it you don't understand? Yeah. Duh. How is it you don't understand? Can anybody make sense of this? I don't think so. You can sit with your math book and calculator all day long and try to find out what sense does it make? What is he saying? And my conclusion is that's the point. The point is, I am beyond your calculations. I am talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about love. That's one thing that's clear here. Love. I love people. I have compassion on people. And also, there's leftovers. I wonder what that means. There's leftovers. Like, I care. There's leftovers, and I love people, and I'm compassionate. Another thing it means is that I'm powerful. And another thing it means is leave your, enjoy who I am. And do not get, in the beginning of this is this one. Do not be poisoned by the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And that's in verse 15. Now, I do want to finish. I did you get anything out of this tonight? Have you gotten, come on, help me out. I think the Holy Spirit is saying some things to us. Verse 15, take heed. Who's he talking to? Disciples. Take heed. What do you mean? Beware. Be careful. You are disciples. Stay lighthearted, joyful, live in love, and know that my heavenly Father loves you. My heavenly Father is for you. Do not get poisoned by religion. The Pharisees are very religious, and they are tough and hard. And to be honest, I believe this hyper-Calvinism, which is popular in some sense, is too packaged for me. It's too narrow. It's too much about election. It's too much about you don't have a choice. It's total depravity. Well, do you believe in total? I believe in total depravity. But why was Paul preaching to pagan people and saying, you're made in the image of God, and you yourself know that God is not made of gold and silver and stone? For you have an unknown God that you are worshiping. And that's the one I declare unto you. The unknown God, whom God raised from the dead, and that he's your Christ. And he's commanded all men everywhere to repent and turn to him. That's what he said. But this leaven of the Pharisees, beware. You don't go to a Bible college where when you finish the Bible college, you're in more unbelief than when you started. You don't go to a seminary and learn the boxes and the programs without cherishing the mystery of an eagle in the air, a serpent on a rock, a ship in the sea, and a man with a maid. And in my little illustration, a dog can't be a man, but do you love a dog that somehow could speak to your heart and say, listen, God is love, and I'm the dog here to lick your hand and tell you God loves you? Can you go there? I mean, this doesn't mean we contradict the Bible. This simply means we understand the whole picture. And man is made in the image of God. And he can choose to be saved. He can choose to believe. He can choose to say yes to Jesus Christ. He can choose to say, I don't know what it is, but I'm after God. What is that? Well, go after God because God loves you. He's not willing that any man would perish. Yeah, but I'm not the elect. How do you know that? Why would you say that? Well, because you're not being encouraged in your decision. You need to make a decision. It's your decision. God is drawing you, and God cares about you. And come to him as you are. That's what we wanted to say tonight. Amen. You're just here. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:4. God is not willing that any man perish. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Whoever believes, no, he will not perish. God shed his blood. Christ is a propitiation for sins, our sins, and the sins of the whole world. In 1 John 2:2, Christ died for everyone, even those that go to hell and perish in hell and suffer in hell. Unfortunately, what is that mystery of? It's that God made man very high, like the angels. And angels go to hell, the fallen angels. And so does man, if he does not turn to Christ in this lifetime. But he dies and goes to hell forever. A suffering unbelievable. We shudder to think of it. But it makes us recognize that we are made in God's image. We realize that we are a high creation, that God is drawing us, and it's a mystery, but believe in Christ and put your trust in him and be born again of the Spirit of God. And all over the world tonight, everywhere where we are teaching and preaching, everywhere may we make every effort to plead with people to come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. He loves you, and he is for you. Would you say this prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, I put my trust in you to save me. You love me. You forgive me. And you save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.